Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, picturing you as we always try to do, on the throne of heaven, where you are the only one that can truly lead from there. So thank you, Father, for all that you have done to prepare the way, to give us your word, to have everything that we need to grow in our understanding of what this life is all about. And so we thank you most of all for the way to salvation, the way to forgiveness, the way that you have told us in your word. And you had to give up your only son, Jesus, and have him die on the cross to make the way for each one of us to come to you and to have the hope of eternal life that you have given us through Jesus' promise. So we thank you for what you have provided. We thank you for your word. We thank you once again as we gather here around your word, in your word. I ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction as I share and as any discussions we have. And so we just ask you for a blessing on this day and this time and in this place. And for the people who have come and people who may be listening in as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm probably not going to comment on as many things as I have been. I want to kind of move along. So if anybody has, I appreciate anybody that brings anything up, Dan included, I appreciate your comments. So be sure and do that. If anything comes to your mind that you want to comment on these proverbs. But we're going to start with Proverbs 21 and verse 7. We left off, finished reading verse 6 last week. So let me read. There's a couple we may comment on here in these first three verses. Verse 7, the violence of the wicked will drag them away, for they refuse to do what is right. Generally, we can associate violence with wickedness. And so I think that's what's telling us. Don't associate with violence or the wicked. Verse 8, the way of the guilty is devious, but the conduct of the innocent is upright. And so our approach, our desire should be to be upright. The conduct of the innocent is upright. So that should be our goal, our inspiration. So, and then verse 9 is interesting. You can better to live on the corner of the roof than what? Than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. I mean, that's pretty blunt, but
no truer words have been said.
No truer. Okay. Voice of
that's possible.
A rare
possibility, but it could be reversed.
Yeah, it could be reversed.
And yet, finding a wife is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go on. The wicked man, verse 10. The wicked man craves evil. Just think about that. I mean, it's fairly obvious. Without God, without a sense of right and wrong, man by themselves craves evil. His neighbor gets no mercy from him. In other words, the wicked man gives no grace, gives no mercy. Verse 11, when a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. When a wise man is instructed, he gets knowledge. And so our desire is to continue to increase our wisdom and knowledge, and therefore receive knowledge. So, verse 12, the righteous one, and notice those words are capitalized, so I think it refers directly to God and to Christ. The righteous one takes note of the house of the wicked and brings the wicked to ruin. God's judgment will fall ultimately on the wicked. And so that's important to realize. Verse 13, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. So we should be sensitive, I guess, to the poor, you know, helping the poor, whatever else is needed there. And so that's God's instruction to us. Verse 14, a gift given in secret soothes anger. A bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath. Verse 15, when justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous. Again, those two words are so often put together in all of God's word, justice and righteousness, and I've commented on it many times, but just putting those together, just when justice is done, which is the right way, which is God's way, it brings joy to the righteous. So those who are seeking justice and righteousness are considered righteous. Yes?
I'd like you to go back to verse 14.
14?
The bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath. Is that saying bribes are good?
That's what I was wondering.
I'm confused with it.
A gift soothes anger. And a bribe concealed in the cloak. Cloak. So it's a hidden. Yeah. The cloak would be cover up, or cloak pacifies great wrath. I don't know. Anybody else have a thought on that?
My reading is different. It's
okay.
A gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom strong wrath. So the bribe is going to get the wrath.
Yeah.
And the gift in secret, a generous gift, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you don't want to bribe. You know, don't be one who bribes.
It's in the notation says the proverb does not promote bribery, but simply states a fact of experience.
Yeah. So it's not promoting bribery in any way. So yeah. Verse 16: a man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead. The consequences. I guess I just made, you know, there's always consequences to our path that we take. Verse 17, he who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. I guess I don't have anything to comment. It's pretty clear, I think, to, you know, what we should strive for. You know, it's not that you can not enjoy, not have pleasurable experiences. He who loves pleasure becomes poor. Doesn't mean that, but it's abusing it. I would say abusive of things, particularly, can bring about the opposite result. Verse 18, the wicked become a ransom for the righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. The wicked become a ransom for the righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. Why are we picking on the wives?
Good question. There you go.
I don't know. There must be a reason here.
He had a lot of wives too.
Yeah, Solomon has many wives.
Power of the pen.
Verse 20. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. And gluttony, I guess, would be the synonym there. Verse 21. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. I think that's a pretty good verse to consider, you know. Our pursuit should be of righteousness and love. And if we do that in accordance with God's way, I think we'll be have rewards.
That says mercy instead of love.
Mercy? Yeah. That can be probably interchanged. Yeah. Verse 22. A wise man attacks the city of the mighty and pulls down the stronghold in which they trust. So the wise can go against a city that's overpowering or needs to be taken down, and he's the one that can provide pulling down the stronghold in which they've put their trust, which is in the might rather than in God. Verse 23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. That might be something worth being a saying that we can refer back to. Verse 24, the proud and arrogant man, the mocker, capital M, is his name. He behaves with overweening pride. And so I think the proud and the arrogance doesn't come from God, or the ways of God comes from the enemy. And so I think the mocker there would represent the forces of evil, of the enemies of God. Verse 25, the sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. So somebody that's lazy, the sluggard, has cravings, but not willing to work for them, and work for what he receives, because his hands refuse to work. In verse 26, all day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. So the difference between the evil ones and the righteous is the attitude, but the righteous give without sparing. If you see a need, give. Verse 27, the sacrifice of the wicked is detestable. How much more so when brought with evil intent? So not only making sacrifices, you know, of wickedness being detestable, but even much more those brought with the intent, with the intent, just not accidentally doing something bad, but the evil intent is even more wicked. 28, a false witness will perish, and whoever listens to him will be destroyed forever. So don't follow the ways of a false witness. It leads to destruction. A wicked man puts up a bold front, but an upright man gives thought to his ways. In other words, a wicked man puts up a bold front, a false sense of who he is, but an upright man gives thought to his ways. In other words, thinks about what he's doing, thinks about what he's supposed to be doing, and then follows it. Verse 30, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. That's Yahweh. So God is still in control. He sees over all things, and so he establishes what's right and wrong and what's good and evil, and will his way will be the way to success. In verse 31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle. So as the riders ride into the battle, they make the horse ready. But the victory rests with the Lord. It's not the horse. The horse can be important in the process, but it's the Lord's victory. And I think that's what we have to continue to look to and for, particularly when we see all the evilness around us and just pray and follow the Lord's direction in our lives and make an example for others, I guess I would say. Okay, so then we move on to the first part of chapter 22, which is where Solomon's, the first 16 verses are still Solomon. And I'm just going to read through those maybe a little quicker. So if you have any specific comments, go ahead and bring it up. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord, Yahweh, is the maker, he's the creator of them all. And that's, again, something that we should always look to. What is God's desire? What's God's telling us to do through his word? Verse 3, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. And that's logical and makes sense. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. They ignore the warning signs. They go straight ahead into the danger and don't take refuge. Verse 4, humility and the fear of the Lord, again that's Yahweh, bring wealth and honor and life. That's a pretty important phrasing, because we must begin with humility before the Lord and have that sense of fear of the Lord, for he is who we need to follow and look to. And as a result of it, if we do it, it will bring wealth and honor and life. And so that's an important thing to know. In the paths, verse 5, in the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. So always, when approaching dangerous things or wicked things around us, avoid them. Guard your soul. Your soul is your innermost being. It's who we are, as you know, for eternal worth. Verse 6, and this is one I think most people recognize, and have maybe even memorized it or quoted it. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And so I think it's pretty common. That's a common idiom that I think we've heard many times, and I think there's such truth to it. Verse 7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. That's kind of the way the world works. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower, those who have to borrow to get what they need, is servant to the lender, to those that are lending the money. Verse 8, he who sows wickedness reaps trouble. That's a pretty straightforward idiom as well. If you sow wickedness, constantly doing the worst of things, the bad things, it will end up in trouble. And the rod of his fury will be destroyed. It will be punished and taken away. Verse 9, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Again, a pretty standard promise. Verse 10, drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. So dismiss, get away from, get rid of the mocker, and do what's right. And the strife that you may be experiencing may be diminished or even done away with. And particularly the quarrels and insults that may follow because of trying to appease the mocker. Verse 11, he who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. And I would even maybe, this is a small, a small K on king, but I would say capital K, Christ as our friend. 12, the eyes of the Lord, Yahweh, keep watch over knowledge, but he frustrates the words of the unfaithful. So if you're not following the Lord's way and doing it your own way, you'll probably end up being frustrated. Verse 13, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside. So it's a warning. Or I will be murdered in the streets. So it's a cry for help, cry for a warning. But what does he do about it? Verse 14, the mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is under the Lord's, Yahweh's wrath, judgment, will fall into it. So if you don't follow God's way in who you befriend, whatever you may want to say about it, there will be consequences. Verse 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. So even a young child can already have folly bound up in their heart. But the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. That's why you see the emphasis on discipline is so important. And I think we've, in our cultures, by and large, we've kind of withheld discipline. We want our kids to like us. We want our friends to like us, whatever. And so rather than disciplining in a strong way, often we withhold it. Verse 16, he who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, and he who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty. So both ways are bad. Those who oppress the poor to get more wealth for themselves, as well as he who gives gifts to the rich get whatever they can from them, both come to poverty. So poverty is the result. Okay, the next section we have, and this is kind of where we move on with the sayings of the wise. We kind of take a break here with Solomon's words. We'll start up again later, but this next section in chapter 22 is let me kind of get my notes here. Okay. Is the sayings of the wise. And so I just, I'm going to, let's see, 22. I'll go through these kind of quickly. There's 16 of them, 16 verses here. And I think we can get through those for sure. Sayings of the wise. Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. So if you have a person that you respect and want to kind of follow their approach to things and you consider them wise, pay attention and listen. Apply your heart to what I teach. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. That's the important thing. I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you true and reliable words, so that you can give sound answers to him who sent you? Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court. For the Lord, Yahweh, will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. And then we go on with chapter 23. And here I'm going to take a little different approach. I'm going to take a group of verses and just, I've got one or two words for each of these verses, and we'll see what you think. Starting in chapter 23, verses 1 to 3, first of all. When you sit to dine with a ruler, note well what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. And I just summarize that with gluttony. And I think that's the key word. Don't overeat. Do it sparingly. It's all right to sit and dine with a ruler, a higher person, but note well what is before you, and don't be gluttonous. Verses 4 and 5, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. And I just use the word restraint in those two verses. Verses 6 to 8, the next group. Do not eat the food of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies. For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. He's not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your compliments. And I just describe this as a stingy man. So have nothing to do with a stingy man. Verses 9 to 14. Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless. For their defender, capital D, is strong, and he will take up their case against you. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. And I just described that whole phrase as discipline, the importance of discipline. The next section is verses 15 to 21. And that reads, "My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." And I just referred to the importance there is speak what is right. It's kind of a broad statement, but don't fall into all the other more wicked things that we can get caught up in. But do what, speak what is right. So always, to the best of our ability, speak what is right and true. Verses 22 to 25, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy, and he who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." And I just summarized that whole phrase by "speak what is right." And I think that should be a saying we all try to live by or follow. Sometimes it's hard to always do it, but that should be our purpose and goal. Speak what is right. And how do we know what's right? We have God's word. And that's what we should understand and know and speak it. So get wisdom, discipline, and understanding in verses 22 to 25. And then on to 26 to 28. "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, and a wayward wife is a narrow well. Like a bandit, she lies in wait and multiplies the unfaithful among men. Woe," let's see, that's where I want to stop. And I just called that, those three verses, "Give me your heart, son. Give me your heart." And in the last verses, 29 to 35, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints?" And I think we'd all raise our hands. different degrees, different situations, but it's kind of fitting for all of us. "Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink? Do not linger over wine or things we are not necessary for us. So, all right, I think we still have a little time left. I'm going to move on to chapter 24, which is still part of the sayings of the wise, and get as far as I can here in the time we have left. So I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 first. Yeah, 1 and 2. Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company, for their heart plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. Pretty straightforward. Verses 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Verses 5 through 7. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war you need guidance, and for victory many advisors. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say. Verses 8 and 9. He who plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker. Verses 10 through 12. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. And then verse 12, if you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? Food for thought. Verses 13 to 14. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul, your inner being. Honey is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Verses 15 and 16. Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place. For though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Verses 17 and 18. Do not gloat when your enemy falls, when he stumbles. Do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him. Verses 19 and 20. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of the wicked. For the evil man has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Verses 21 and 22. Fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with the rebellious. For those who will send sudden destruction upon them, and who knows what calamities they can bring. I'll finish this last section, and then we'll stop there at the verses 23 through 34. And I'm breaking it up into verses 23 and 25. First, these are further sayings of the wise. These also are sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the guilty, "You are innocent," peoples will curse him and nations denounce him. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come upon them. In verse 26, by itself, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Verse 27, finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Verses 28 and 29, do not testify against your neighbor without cause, or use your lips to deceive. Do not say, "I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did." And verses 30 to 34 to finish this section, and we'll stop here. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sheep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Pretty tough words, but I think they're good words of advice. And so we'll stop there at the end of chapter 24, and we'll then move on next week with chapter 25. I think it's more words of Solomon, and so we go from 25 to 29, and then we'll have a couple more comments from others, from Agur, A-G-U-R. And we'll have sayings from Lemuel in chapter 31. And then we'll finish with chapter 31, the last part, the epilogue. And we'll all look forward to this, because this is the epilogue, the wife of noble character. So, so you ladies, be ready to hear. So, anyway, we'll... I think we got quite a ways this morning, so we'll leave it there and see how far we get next week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, for this opportunity. Thank you for your word, the words you gave to Solomon and others for wisdom. Help us to absorb the wisdom of your word. Help us to the best of our ability, Lord, try to follow those words of wisdom. I know it can be difficult. We have a lot of distractions, but help us to do better, Lord, and help others along the way. So we thank you for this word. We thank you, for what you've shown us today in your word. So we now look forward to the rest of this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to. For the people who will come into this place this day and experience what we have to share with each other in this time of worship. I just pray, Lord, that maybe there's a stranger that will come in and we can welcome and encourage. But if not, just the regular people that come, we just thank you for those who have come and will come, and that we will enjoy each other's company, and as well as what you provide for us in the worship service. We thank you for the music that's been chosen. We thank you for touching our hearts with the music, but also touching our hearts maybe with the prayers that are lifted up. We pray for those that are in need of prayer. We thank you for the life of Dorcas. And we thank you, Lord, because I know she was ready to go home to you. And we thank you that you have now taken her. and she's in your care. And so we thank you for the life and the person she was and is, and having known her. So, but we thank you also to comfort, that you will comfort the family and all those who will definitely miss her. So we thank you for that. But we also pray, Lord, for our worship service, each part of it, not only the music and the prayers, but the word that's shared and the message that Raymond has for us from Genesis chapter 6 this day. And we just pray that it will lift us up and help us to understand, you know, where things went so wrong back in the era, even in the days of the flood. So we thank you for what you've given us to read and to follow. But we also thank you, Lord, ahead of time for our time of gathering together for a meal together. We thank you for the food that's been put together and cooked and so forth, and we can share it together with each other in a time of fellowship after the worship service. So thank you for all things this day, and we just ask for a blessing on this day and the week to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.